I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus done a work in my life. I'm not the man that I used to be. Amen. I'm not what I'm going to be yet, but I'm not the man I used to be either. How wonderful God is and how greatly grace does work in our lives. Grace is an active virtue. It works. It labors. And it performs in each of our lives, bringing about that which pleases the Lord Jesus. And I'm grateful for old time salvation, heartfelt. I'm glad I got something I can feel.
Amen.
Amen. I don't think some folks ever felt God in their life. I'm glad I got something. Amen, Brother Jerry. I'm glad I got something I can feel this morning. Amen. Some folks may not like it, but I'm going to tell you all Jerry was doing, saying, I agree with you, preacher. I agree with you. Truly, truly, it's right. Verily, verily, it's right. Thank God we got something we can feel. I'd hate to think I had somebody as big as God in me and couldn't feel him. He gets to shouting and running in there sometimes. Just to squeezing around in my heart. That old juice just run out of your eyes. Amen. That's right. He'll do something for you. Well, I'm glad we're here. I appreciate the good singing this morning. Been a blessing to my heart and the fellowship. Don't bother me. I've been knowing Jerry for a long time. And it does not bother me one bit. Amen, Brother Jerry. The flesh is about to get you, ain't it, son? All right, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Again this morning, if you would, please. Song of Solomon, and chapter number 5. And when you find that, let's stand together. And again today, we'll read verse number 14. I'd like to preach again next Sunday out of this verse. I don't know if the Lord is going to let me. I'd like to make it 5 in a row on the abundant life. But I don't know if God is going to let me go that route or not. I'm hoping that He will. We'll find out sometime during the week. He said in verse 14, His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the singing this morning, for the Sunday school hour, and for the presence of the Spirit of God. I pray, O God, that the wind would blow in this place today to refresh our hearts. Lord, to blow out the stale air, the stagnant air that surrounds us so often as Your children. I pray this morning that You'd breathe on hearts of people and quicken by Your power lost sinners. God, that You'd revive and refresh and strengthen the people of God. And would You blow upon Thy servant today and grant me the wisdom and the power to preach this text that it might bring glory to Jesus and blessing to Your people. I want to help them, Lord. May our blinded eyes be opened today to the abundant life that God has for us. That it is a glorious life indeed. Wonderful serving the Lord. I pray You have Your divine will and way in each of our hearts. God, that You'd give grace to the humble this morning, resist the proud, rebuke the devil, provide liberty in this place and do a work, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Again this morning, our text verse says, His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Now, I've been preaching in recent weeks, or trying to preach, on Christ and His abundant life. Amen. If you remember, I said that His belly represents the seat of regeneration. Amen. It is that life that Christ gives or imparts to penitent sinners. I'm glad, thank God, that when a sinner repents and comes to Christ, that He imparts into them that spiritual life or that divine nature that we find in God. And you and I become partakers of the same life that Christ has. Amen. To you and I, that life is everlasting. It has a beginning without an end. But in the mind of God, we have had eternal life. That is life without beginning or without ending. Somebody said, how can that be? In the foreknowledge of God, our names have been written down in heaven before the foundation of the world. Now somebody can say, preacher, that's Calvinism. No, that is Bible. For me to say that God is so ignorant that He did not know the end from the beginning would make me an absolute blooming idiot and a fool, my friend. He would cease to be God if He did not know all things from the very beginning of life. I'm glad that I serve a God that is infinite, and He's not like little finite man, that He is sovereign in all of His ways, and He doeth all things well. In fact, the bride, when she closes this chapter, in summation of everything she has said about Him, she said, He is just altogether lovely, and there is no blemish or spot in Him. Amen to God. And so He gives us life. Those sapphires representing the riches of His grace. Amen. The riches of His goodness. The riches of His blessings upon you and I. And so we conclude that by saying that this Scripture represents the rich life that Christ gives to every repentant sinner that will come to Him. I've said it so many times, I'll say it again. The Lord said it in John 10:10 when He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to say to you again today that there is a life that we can enjoy in Christ, my friend, in this life on the earth that is far greater than any life we've ever imagined. And it exceeds our fondest thoughts. He's come that we might have life and that we might have it so much more abundantly. Now, I've already said that life is found in answered prayers. Friend, you'll never have an abundant life without knowing what it means to have God to answer your prayers for you. Ask, He said. Ask and seek and knock. And God will grant unto you great and glorious things that we know not of. And then I said, an abundant power. My God, power in this life to walk with Christ. Power to overcome sin. Power, my friend, to resist the devil. Power to overcome temptations. Power to walk in this world, yet not being of this world. Power to resist the temptations of the world and the worldly alike. A power, my friend, to walk in a pleasing way to God. A power, my friend, to pray and seek God's blessings and pray down God's blessings, not only upon our lives, but upon our families' lives in the house of God as well. I'll say most Baptists know nothing about power. Some, there's a power source to be had, men. Amen. That's above anything that we've ever dreamed of. Amen. Our God is all powerful. And He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when he said in us, he's saying, I've got that power to give to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then I talked about abiding joy.
Yes.
Thank God for joy.
Amen.
Unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
At his right hand
yes.
are pleasures forevermore. Great joy in the presence of God.
Yes.
Friend, that's why I stress how much we need him in our services. To bring that abiding joy that you and amen to God to keep us smiling along the way. I'm telling you, you've got a good piece of armor against discouragement if you'll put a little joy in your heart, or rather let Christ put a little joy in your heart from day to day. Hallelujah to God. And then this morning, I thought I'd deal today on grace. And that'd be a worthy subject to deal with. But I'd like to deal with his twin brother. Not only answered prayers and abundant power and abiding joy, but I want to deal today with abounding hope. Thank God I'm glad that I've got a hope that is both steadfast and sure this morning. Oh, and how can we have an abundant life without an abounding hope? How can we have an abundant life except our hope exceeds the barriers of the clouds and extends far into the realms of the highest heaven, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, where our joy abides, and where our life is hid with Christ in God, in the very presence of the holy angels. Hallelujah to God. I tell you, my hope exceeds this life. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And my hope goes beyond the life that I now live and reaches out into that which is to come and taps into the very heart of Almighty God. Abounding hope.
Amen.
Got hope?
Yes.
What are you hoping in?
Amen.
What are you hoping for?
Amen.
Now stay with me. Romans 15:13. The Bible said, now the God of hope.
Amen.
Woo! Son, I'm glad we've got a God of hope. He's not a God of despair. He's not wringing his hands in despair. He is never despondent. He is never distressed. Our God is a God of hope this morning. I made a misprint when I wrote that verse in my notes and put now the God of all hope. But it don't say all hope. But he is our hope. What is our hope? He's our hope. The God of hope, Brother Paul said in Romans 15:13. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. There it is. That you may abound in hope. How, Brother Hall? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now that's what the text says. That's not my thoughts. That's what the Bible just said. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to surmise this statement before I get into what we're hoping for this morning. But first, the consolation of our faith is joy and peace. Did you get a hold of that? Somebody said, I don't have any joy and I don't have any peace. The altar is available. You can be saved by the grace of God today. Or somebody said, I don't believe that, Brother Hall. I'm reading the Bible. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. How, Brother Hall? In believing, friend. That's what the Bible says. Now, how can a man believe in Christ and the fact that He died to save us, and that He has lifted us out of the miry clay, out of the sin and depravity of this life, and not enjoy at least a minimal amount of joy and peace in our heart. Oh, what a consolation that because I'm saved, He has taken away, my friend, the animosity and the hatred and the gloom and despair, and has filled it full of joy and peace in my soul. Hallelujah. Some of you ain't got a hold of it yet.
Amen.
Amen. The consolation of our faith is joy and peace.
Amen.
Now don't leave me. And the condition of our hope is determined by the degree of joy and peace. That's why some of you's hope is real weak. Because you don't have much joy and you don't have much peace. Somebody said, where do you get that, preacher? That, hey, the God of all hope has filled us with joy and peace in believing. That ye may abound. That joy He's filled. Faith has filled you full of joy and peace, my friend. That you may abound in hope. I'm telling you, if you're always in gloom and despair, your hope is very thin this morning. Huh? That's why you're not living that abundant life. Walking in victory. Amen. Catapulting over every obstacle the devil may put in front of you. Just like a pole vaulter. Are you hearing me? Brother, our joy, our hope, and our peace makes us just like an athlete in a pole vaulting contest. Someday may be a wall there that the devil has placed, but thank God, joy will spring you over that wall and give you peace while you're going over the top of it. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And it'll make you, the hope that you have is what will spring you down that runway to get you up over that obstacle, friend. The condition of our hope, the strength, amen, is based upon or determined by the joy and the peace. If you have, I'm going to read this now. No joy, no hope, no peace, no hope. And the virtue of hope is vital to the Christian life. I want to run that by you again. The virtue of hope is vital to your Christian life. You show me a Christian without hope, I'll show you one that's whooped. Oh yes, I'll show you one that is defeated. Amen to God. Show me a Christian that can never find victory over the circumstances of life, and I'll show you a Christian that is whooped, my friend, in their spiritual life. And if you're whooped in your spiritual life, you will never go anywhere with God. I'm going to hang in there now. It is one of the three, hope is one of the three greatest virtues of our Christian life. Paul said in Rome, 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. I know the greatest of those is charity. I understand that. But that hope is yet one of the three greatest virtues that we can have, my friend. Oh, I tell you, hope will keep you churning. Hope will keep you moving. When the devil says, sit down and quit, hope in God will prompt you to go on forward. It was hope that brought Israel across the Red Sea. It was hope, my friend, that they crossed the Jordan River by. It was hope, my friend, that brought the walls of Jericho down. I'm telling you, it is hope is vital today to your Christian life. And you'll be like a dead horse, son, without a little bit of hope in your life. I'm not done yet now. I want to say that this hope flows from a fountain within us.
Amen.
He said, abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that there is a fountain that flows from deep within. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that little woman that there's a singing about found a fountain. Oh yeah, found a well of living water, my friend, that'll never run dry. And our hope stems from the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. That's why I say, Brother Billy, a lot of Baptists are lost. No joy, no peace, no hope, no Holy Ghost. Come on in the house. I won't charge you nothing for that. I've got news for you. It does not depend on you whether you got hope and joy and peace or not. Depends on Him that lives in you. For every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. That hope in you, what is it? Come on in the house, church. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Son, that's what the new birth is. That's what life is. It's not your life. Your life is hid with Christ in God. But the life that now dwells in you is the very life of Christ Almighty. Oh yes, a great mystery, but it's a fact that Christ in you, the hope of glory. That my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be full. Huh? Where does it come from? Christ living in you. His joy. Him. The reason His joy can be in you is because He's in you. Now that just about does something to Brother Hall. I want to define hope very simply. It means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. It means to expect or to have confidence in. Let me ask you something this morning. What are you anticipating? We'll just take her as slow as God wants us to have it. I'm going to tell you what David said. Oh, my soul, why art thou so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for from Him cometh my expectation. Let me ask you something this morning. What are you hoping in? What are you anticipating to develop in your life? What are you anticipating God doing for you? But salvation's a personal thing, friend. Huh? That's right. Listen carefully. Hope is the faith that we have in the blessings and the accomplishments of God in our life. Hope is those things which cannot be seen with the naked eye. Do you have any hope in the unseen world? Somebody said, you sound like a mystic. No, I sound like a Christian. Let me put it like this. Do you have any hope of things yet in this life that you cannot see? Some of you will remember and some of you won't. I'm glad it's still here. What's in your hope chest this morning? There's a little old cedar chest sitting upstairs in my study that was Miss Hall's when she was a little girl. And in hope of a husband, her mama let her fill up that little old chest. And they called it a hope chest. Hoping for a husband. Hoping for a family. Had never laid eyes on that man. But oh, in December, buddy. Oh, she knew me as a little boy. But in December 1966, she saw me as a great big hunk of a soldier boy. Amen. And her unseen hope started to become a reality in her life. Now I'm sure she said, "There's that man I've been hoping for all these years." Woo-wee! And my heart turned a double backflip, and I said, "Golly gee to me, buddy, there she is." And I'm going to tell you, that love ain't went nowhere lately. Are y'all listening? I'm going to ask you, what hope do you have in things you haven't seen? Brother Paul said in Romans 8:24 and 25, he said, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." And bless your heart if there's things, whether in this life or in that life, that you're hoping for. There'll be some patience in your life and some expectation from God to fulfill those dreams and bring them to pass in your life. What are you hoping for? Well, you got no hopes yesterday. I thought about when I'm done letting everybody write out on a piece of paper, walking by and dropping her in. What are you hoping for? What's in your little hope chest? What are you anticipating God to do? What do you expect Him to do for you and your family? I ain't got the four things now. And there's a whole lot of things I can preach on. But I'm going to say God zeroed me in right here. And we're getting ready to anchor down if God will help us. I'm going to tell you what I think we'll have hope in. I'm going to tell you what I've got hope in. I've still got hope in the church. And I ain't talking about that one you can't find nowhere. I'm not talking about that crowd sitting at home this morning watching the big church on television. I have got hope in Island Ford Baptist Church. IFBC, I've yet got hope in this church. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, we've been pretty dead lately." Oh, but all it'll take, just one breeze. Just one gust of wind from another world. Oh yes, just one reviving spirit. Just one touch of God, one troubling of the water, one sunrise on our soul, amen, is all it'll take for God to make this desert blossom and bloom. Make your dry, parched souls come alive. Now I'm going to tell you, I believe the thirstier we get, the more parched our soul becomes, like the earth, may our soul open up to the God of heaven. And may the rain fall on our never-dying soul. But to water the parched ground of my spirit. But to revive me again. Oh, I've got hope in this church. If I didn't, I'd pack up my bags and hit the road today, buddy. Preacher asked me the other day when I was talking to him about our need and the stagnation here. He said, "Has God told you to leave?" I wanted to say the same thing to him Job said to his wife, "You talk like a foolish woman." Amen. I got my mind made up, buddy. Amen. I've got hope in this church. Amen. Now don't nobody leave me. Wherein am I hoping? I'm hoping for the church to go forward spiritually. Amen. You ain't done growing yet. You ain't reached the pinnacle of your salvation yet, buddy. Well, no, you've got a ways to go. Listen, what old brother, I'm talking about going forward. Spiritually growing in grace and knowledge and nurture of the Lord God Almighty. You may not have any hope in yourself. I think some of you in here this morning, I don't think you got an ounce of hope in yourself ever doing any more for God than what you're doing. Ever growing anymore, ever learning anymore, not ever knowing anymore than what you know right now. You're pitiful. If you're like that, you know what? You don't have any hope. No hope. I've got hope, buddy, in this church, and I've got hope in it going forward spiritually. Son, we ain't dead yet. I'm going to tell you one reason I know we ain't dead. Son, I ain't dead. Praise God, I'm still saved by the grace of God and ready to go on. I believe as long as there's a spark of hope up here, that it can set a fire out there. If we can get a fire burning here and there, folks come around, well, come down and pour just a watch of fire burn every now and then. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Hallelujah. Now listen carefully. Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. And in chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18, he's a praying. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you just another gift, just a little more grace from God, may give unto you. What does he want them to have? What does Paul want that church to have? The same thing I want you to have. Give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. May God make us wise to discern both good and evil, that we may abstain from the evil and cleave unto that which is good. Pursue holiness and ensue it. May God make us wise. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. In what, Preacher Hall? In all knowledge of Him. In other words, may God make you wise, and may God give you a spirit of knowledge in the Lord Jesus. Oh, tell me more, more. I feel like preaching. I'll pray, God, tell me more, more about Jesus. I'm not interested in what's going on in the world. Amen. Down in Canaan land or Egypt, I'm concerned about what's going on with my Lord. I want to know more about His glory, more about His grace, more about His power, more about His holiness, more about His purity. I want to know more about Him. May God give you, I'm hoping that He will, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, may God give you, may God reveal to you some things about Christ that you've never seen. Ransack the Bible. Look in the Scriptures. For in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which speak of me. Read your Bible. Pray. Seek God. Amen. Learn more about Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. Yes, sir, I've got confidence in this church of going forward spiritually. And then he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Hey, what do you think God done for old Brother Shelby when he told me Friday night? He said, preacher, I learned something. Said, I've been putting on the armor at nighttime in order to put it on in the morning before I go to work. I'm going to tell you something, son. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to thee, but our Father which is in heaven, friend. You can say what you want to say. Oh, yes, sir. I'm hoping God will enlighten our understanding. For what reason? Enlighten that understanding that we may know. That we may know. What is the hope of His calling? That is, that we may understand why God has called us. Amen. That we may have a hope in God's eternal and everlasting call upon our life, calling us out of Egypt's bondage into this pilgrimage that we're in. Oh, that we might have a hope in that calling this morning. What God's a-doing in your life. Why did He bring Billy and Gwen all the way up here? Why did He bring George and Sandy down here? Why did He bring Mark and Kim here? Why did He bring Wayne and Sharon here? Why did He bring Knucklehead and Lee, Doug and Lisa up here? What did bring Andy and Cheryl all the way down here? Why did he keep some of you folks here when by all known human reasoning you ought to have been gone? Why did he bring Jerry and Norma back? Come on in the house. I'm talking about hope this morning. And why God is doing what He's doing in your life. Why did they keep Angie and Ben here when Angie was so discouraged she couldn't get up high enough to tie her shoe? I'm doing a little personal preaching. Why did they keep some of you here when your own blood kin has talked about me like I'm a dog? God wants you to have some hope in your heart, and that hope will come when God reveals to you and gives you some understanding why you're called and why you're yet where you are in Him. That's good preaching, preacher. They may not know it, but it's good preaching. Now stay with me. That you might know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is His exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. God wants you to know, son, understand how great a power it is working in you. He goes on to say in that verse, even the same power that raised our Lord Jesus from the grave. God wants you to know, buddy, there is a power, an exceeding great power, friend, that all the hosts of hell cannot quench, that is working in our bosom because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb this morning. Amen to God. Paul again a praying. Colossians chapter 1 verses 10 and 11. Praying for that church at Colossae. And he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. I've got hope in that this morning. Do you? Do you have hope in learning a little bit more? A little more knowledge? Somebody said, oh, I don't want knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. That's all right. The devil will be around to let the air out of your sail. Don't worry about getting too puffed. I guarantee you, if the devil don't let it out, God knows how to. Just get in that book and dig. Study, pray, learn. Hallelujah. Somebody said, we ain't a shout this morning. I don't care what we're doing, son. I'm trying to get a little hope in you that you have not went all the way with God yet. There is an abundant life, and it's found in the abundant hope that dwells in our bosom this morning. Open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it, saith the Lord. Ask of me, and I'll show you the great and mighty things that you know not of. Hallelujah. She might be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. There it is again. Get this now. Some of you may remember this. But Paul said there, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Amen. Now, in that verse 11, there's three words mentioned. Patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. And that is the spirit or the attitude of maturity in the child of God. Now don't leave me now. That patience is your attitude toward you and God. Your spirit. Your ability to wait on God for some things. Well, you'd be surprised of the people that tell me every week, well, I just feel like quitting. What you're telling me is you don't have any hope. And your patience is about as, with God, is about as thin as toilet paper and Charmin at that. Till it doesn't even feel like toilet paper. I never thought about quitting. I've never entertained the thought. To whom would I go? He has the words of life. Where house you going to go today? You got any patience to wait on? God wants you to have enough patience, friend, that when the going gets tough, you can just, that's called growing in grace and not just, hey, that's maturing in Lord. Amen. Just waiting upon Him. And then He said, with long suffering, that's your attitude between you and your fellow man.
Amen.
Bless God, oh so and so. Suffering long with them. Boy, you don't know how many times I really wanted to borrow that big shoe Sister Woodard brought in here.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Long suffering.
Amen.
You know how many times I wanted to grab some of these knucklehead boys around here and just squeeze them in the back of their neck. Was good. Long suffering.
Amen.
My attitude toward you and your attitude toward me. That's how God wants us to get, friend.
Amen.
That where our attitude suffers long with our fellow man, is patient and waits upon God until God decides again to move in our life. That's what I've been doing now for a long time here in the house of God. I'm telling you, looking at long faces, friend, and waiting on God. Just being patient, waiting on God. And all the time I'm saying, Lord, why? What in God's name? Where are they at? What's wrong? Why ain't they going on? Trying to be patient with God and long-suffering with you. Trying to stay out of the flesh, and sometimes I fail to do it. But yet I'm growing!
Amen.
With joyfulness.
Amen.
That's your attitude with your own self, son. That's your own spirit. And I guarantee if you have a little of that joy, that patience and long suffering will seem a whole lot easier to you.
Amen.
Amen to God. Now, don't anybody leave me. I'll take a break and come back and finish it.
Amen.
I'll take a break and come back. Now, I want to say I've got hope in this church not only growing spiritually, but growing numerically.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, you talk like a foolish man. We're in the last days. Oh, yes, but hope is that which is not seen. And I am anticipating God to move and add souls to the house of God. Amen to God. That's right. Acts chapter 2 and verses 46 and 47. Talking about that early church. And it said, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread and from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. I wonder, hey, and it said, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily.
Amen.
Such as should be saved.
Amen.
I wonder if we'd get glad and single-minded and do a little praising if we might find favor with people and God might add to the church.
Amen.
Who on God's name want to attach themselves to a dead dog and a flea? Who would want to go up and sit down in the morgue, son, every day, every Sunday and say, praise God, I'm having a time sitting in here around all these corpses.
Amen.
Rise up and speak. Look at old brother so-and-so laying over there. Praise God, I've tried to get him to sing Amazing Grace all day and he won't open his mouth. I don't know what's wrong with him. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with him, neighbor. He's dead. Who wants what he's got? Gladness. Singleness of heart. Favor with man. And God adding to the church daily such as should be saved. You got any hope in God adding to this mess? I have. I'm looking for these blue seats to fill up. Somebody said, I can't see that. You don't have any hope. I just told you hope is in that which we see not, but it is an anticipation of that which we see not.
Amen.
Amen to God. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've got hope. Uh-oh, I think I lost one. I did miss one. I left one out. Going forward spiritually, growing numerically. You know I left out a point. I've got a hope in the church given sacrificially. I left it out. Son, I'm telling you, giving around here sacrificially is like pulling hen's teeth. As long as it comes out of the budget, fine. The preacher don't ask for anything above the budget now. You say, you got hope in that? Oh, yeah. You can't grow in grace without having that hope. I'm a praying God will teach some of you to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom. You'll learn someday that with whatsoever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you withal again. And don't give sacrificially one time and expect God to open up heaven and turn over the honey bucket. It don't work that way. There's going to be a little proving in the process. When you like that, listen to me a minute. Let's reason. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And I've got hope you'll learn that. Not for me. I'm telling you, not for me, buddy. I mean that. It's not. I'm not. Well, I don't want you to learn that for my benefit.
Amen.
But that you might receive the benefit.
Amen.
Y'all ain't tired and hot now, are you? We turn on the ceiling fans. Roll down the air conditioners. Amen to God.
Amen.
And then, I want to say thirdly, I think I've missed a whole bunch of stuff here. Amen to God. Huh? Oh, I just got two threes, that's all. I'll learn one of these days. Secondly, what are you hoping in? I will say I've not only got hope in the church, but I've got hope in the conversion of sinners. Well, preacher, we live in the last day. Noah's day and Lot's day, and things are too bad. Well, if I might go back about 36 hours.
Amen.
Things wasn't too bad to bring a little old Georgia peach all the way from down yonder up here to us barefoot hillbillies where she'd get born again.
Amen.
And if God can bring them all the way from Georgia and save them, what on God's earth leads us to believe God can't save Kentuckians? That's right, ain't it? We live like God wants the world to go to hell. But He's still not willing that any should perish. No, sir. I've got hope in it. Listen what old Isaiah said. 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved.
Amen.
Who? All the ends of the earth.
Amen.
For I am God and there is none else. Then I looked up that little word, ends. All the ends of the earth. And that simply means to the very uttermost.
Amen.
To the very darkest corner, son.
What
you know what Isaiah's saying? There is not a sinner that can get too far out yonder that God can't bring him into the family. I've got faith in that. I've got hope in that, Brother Doug. In the conversion of sinners, yes, sir. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If what happened here Friday night don't spark some hope in you, you are a miserable sort of a lot.
Amen.
Well, if I was Gwen Benedict, I'd shame every one of you women into locking in on your mamas and your sisters and your brothers. For if God saved one of them, Miss Sharon, what about your daddy? If God saved one of them, He is no respect of persons.
Right.
Look unto me and be ye saved. Where to? from the uttermost. And I've got news for you, buddy. He can get them from the uttermost to the guttermost. Sonny went way down that dark ditch after me, brother. 365 feet after Jerome, buddy. Lifted him out of that old dark mine. I'm here to tell you, sinner, you can't run too far that God can't find you. And you can't get the wicked God can't lift you out. Oh, thank God for the effectual working grace of the loving Lord that lived and died on Calvary for our sins. I'm telling you, friend, grace will do something. Woo! No law, just no man justified by the law now. For if there had been a law given that should have saved her, and my friend Christ would have never had to die. He did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. Woo! And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I tell you what it'll do. A grace will wash us from our sins in His own blood. Remember what I said the other night? If you're washed from your sins, you're separated from them. Mama used to wash our clothes. And we don't ever see that water nowadays in them big fancy automatic washers. But Mama had that old Maytag. That old agitator. Whoop. Huh? She'd wash a couple loads of clothes, say, son, I need new wash water. And I'd look at that, I'd pull that little old hose down off that thing, and oh, it's just old, dark, murky, nasty water. You know why? That was the dirt that Mama separated from us old boys' filthy blue jeans and clothes and hand-me-down that we had to wear. Amen to God. Yeah, that's right. When Mama would rinse them out, rinse them in water, and that rinse water would even be dirty. I'm glad, thank God, He washed us in His blood, and then He washed us in the water of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we're clean every way with, but every now and then we yet need our feet bathed by the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, buddy, He can clean up a sinner.
Yes, He can.
Law just hang you out over hell and make you wish you was dead. Listen to what James said. I'm talking about having faith in the conversion, hope in conversion of sinners. James said in chapter 5, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. I'm telling you, God is awaiting, son, until it's time to throw in that sharp sickle. He's getting ready. There's two sickles in the book of Revelation. Amen. They throw in one sickle and reap the earth. And that strong angel throws in another sickle and reaps and casts in to the wine press of the wrath of Almighty God. I'm telling you, there's coming a separation upon this earth. And brother, our God today is patient, not willing that any should perish. He's long suffering, that's where to believe. And God is awaiting for the latter rain upon the earth. And I ain't seen none yet. He hath patience for it. Until He receives the early and the latter rain. And I ain't saw no rain in these late days yet. You got any hope in it coming? Bunch of degraded Baptists. Hopeless. No confidence in God. The only thing we can believe is what we see with the eye. Dollar bills, bank accounts, automobiles, cars, and clothes. And if we get without a little of that, we get all tore up. You know what I found in my Bible the other day, laying in there when we started that little old marathon? That scripture in Matthew, where the Lord tells us there about the sparrows and about the grass of the field and how God will clothe us and God will feed us and we ought not to worry about that. I wrote down in my Bible the date way back in 1984 and wrote right beside it, Lord, please don't let me worry. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, I've been on the victory side for a long time now, son. Amen. I'm not a worrying in my money, a blessed God, and CDs and all that mess. Oh, no. I'm a hoping in that which I see not today. I'm not hoping to ever get rich in this life, Brother Robert. I'm done too old to start gaining too much now. But buddy, I'm hoping in some things I ain't seen. And I'm hoping in a little ladder rank. And I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't much. But I believe I've seen a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. We're dumb. You know how dumb we are. We had the greatest mother-daughter banquet we've ever had. As far as our, just here, we had the biggest group of women. They eat more food than they have ever eaten. Capped it off, first time ever anybody ever got saved in it. I see that little old hand. And that servant run and told Elijah, said, Elijah, I see a hand out there, a cloud about like a man's hand. Oh, Elijah just dropped his face down in his knees and began to pray. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, friend, when we see that, I told the men last night, I got up off of my knees right there. And I said, brethren, if we'll only keep the faith, let not back up if we'll be faithful in praying. There's a God in heaven, son, that can send revival. There's a God in glory that can save old sinners. There's a God whose arm is not shortened. And His ears able to hear, my friend. And He'll save old sinners. I've got the hope in that. About here's where I'm fixing to bust some of you. I've got hope in our children being saved. I've got hope in the church. I've got hope in the conversion of sinners. But friend, I've got hope in our children being saved. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not so sure that God's not bringing up a generation behind you that He'll do something with. Because I'm afraid too many of the adults in here, they've done set up like concrete, friend. And they've done made up their mind that they're as spiritual as they ever need to be, or all they can be, or all they want to be. I'm going to tell you what, I'm just telling you, friend, it moved me when I saw that child stand there and sing. I'm praying God will send us a man and a woman from here or somewhere that will take enough interest in our young people to start teaching them in Sunday school and working with them. Amen. I've been praying that prayer for a while. I believe there's potential in our kids. I've heard them little old girls get up here and sing, and them little old boys. I'm telling you, that little fella right there has got a soprano voice, buddy. He'd be better than best of good when somebody worked with him. Tenor, whatever you call it. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you what, I've got hope not only in God converting our children, but I've got hope in God, yes, filling these youngins in here with the Holy Ghost. That power of God working in them. Amen. Let me ask you something. You had that. I like to see him get up here. I got to keep Andrew up back here. He's worse than a worm in ashes, a crawling around on the floor. There's some things they're going to have to be taught. Fumbling around, twisting that book, and crawling around. I told him the last two Sundays in a row, son, get up off the floor. They ain't perfect. But I'm going to tell you what, I've got faith in God converting them, and we better learn to train them. Now, I ain't going to charge you nothing for this morning, but I'm going to preach it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Have you got hope in your child being that way? I'm talking about a child being kind, polite, courteous, obedient. Not acting like a bunch of rednecks and roughhousing. Being kind to these little boys. Being kind to these little girls and adults. I just wrote down some things. Let me just mention. Obedient. Train them to have some manners. Train them to be courteous. Train them some responsibility. Got a generation of kids that don't have an ounce of responsibility. All they want to do is walk around with a boom box and a bunch of earrings in their ears and listen to either a bunch of rock music or country western music. And all that. That's right. Smoke dope, drink liquor, cuss, run with women, and home up. And try to fit in with the peer group out yonder. What about respect for the property of others? I ain't going to charge you none for this. I thought about doing it in private, but I'm just going to do it right now and get it over with. I want you parents to listen to me. I love you. But I'm telling you, we better start training these children to have some manners and to be courteous and kind and responsible. Now, I'm just quite honest. These little boys around here, and I'm calling not nary one. If you have a little boy, and I'm including them two birds sitting right there, I'm going to tell you something, friend. They're getting too rough and too rowdy around the house of God. They doing fine in the church. But I'm going to tell you when the problem is when we let them loose and they get steamed up, and that's just the energy in boys. It is just the energy in boys. They just being boys. But they need to be trained. And I'm trying to say this as tactful as I know. But they need to be trained. Amen. That the church house is a different horse of a different color. It's not the playground. Come on in the house now. I caught some of them out there the other night. Friday night. Wetter and drowned rats. One of them in here said, so-and-so got in the water in the wishing well. And I said, yeah, and you turned on the water out on the hydrant. I caught them standing outside out there on that sidewalk, and every one of them was soaking wet and had that hair all combed up in the air, sticking up there, looked like a bristle patch. Little old Jonathan came home to Ducey and said something about his hair. And she said, you know what you look like? Yeah. What, Ducey? Said, you look like one of them little punk rockers.
Amen.
I mean, I don't want to be no punk rocker. I'm just saying, they need to be trained. Do you know what it means to train a child? Amen. Now, I'm being slow and kind.
Go ahead, preacher.
You know what a train is, don't you? Train is one car hooked to another car, hooked to another car, and hooked to another car. And when you train up a child, you take one truth that's biblical, and when they get old enough to hook another truth, and another truth, and another truth, and train them in the way that they ought to go. And when they depart, they will. I come in this morning now, need a little boy. Six or seven of them standing back there in the foyer. And you know what? I'm honest. I was proud of them this morning. They stand back there. You would have thought that they were 25-year-old men. They stand back there with their hands in their pockets just like a big man. And they just the talking and the carrying on and holding the conversation. I thought, glory to God. I said, here I ain't even preached on it yet, and they already getting better. I said, that's wonderful, Lord. They stand right outside. At home! I'm going to tell you what I got hope in these little boys for. I've got hope in them being real gentlemen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm talking about with a southern character and dignity they ought to have.
Amen.
And these little girls being the Southern Belle that they ought to be, buddy.
Amen.
Amen. I talked to a preacher yesterday. He said, I had to deal with the teenagers last Sunday morning. Said, I had a couple of them. Said, the dress was getting a little short for the choir. Said, I had to deal with them. Said, you know how these teenagers are. Said, if you don't stay right on them all the time, said, they'll let them dresses get real short. I'm going to tell you what I said, Brother Doug. Said, I'm thank God. Our parents must be doing a pretty good job there because I ain't seen all that problem.
Amen.
Amen.
If you ask me, the parents ain't doing too much training.
Amen.
They ain't a child's fault. I'm going to tell you, if that little girl leaves the house with a slit up her dress to her hind end, buddy, or a slit up to the knee revealing that leg, I'm going to tell you, it ain't that little girl's fault. It's your fault, Mom and Daddy. Teach them to dress properly. Ain't nothing wrong with teaching these little boys to wear a shirt and a tie to the house of God.
That's right.
And these little girls putting on real nice ladylike clothes, feminine, fully garmented. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to help us this morning. I've got hope in them kids doing that. I've got hope in it. Have you? What's in your little hope chest? You don't want little Johnny to grow up to be a bum. You want little Susie to grow up to be a little rip. Come on, church. I've got that hole in the conversion of our children and watching them grow up in this church. I'm just being honest with you. When I drove down, and I said this the other night, and I drove down going to my house and saw them little old kids out there. And I think Miss Sue was there, and she waved them little kids. They just waving at me, and I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm their pastor. Thank God. Hey, that's right. Them little youngins act like they love Brother Hall, and I just waved back at them. I was as proud, son, I could just about split the buttons off my shirt. I like it.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
And they'll come run up to me and look at me. And little old Annabelle, she won't hardly have anything to do with me. Sleeping on God. But I was sitting over here the other day when one of them meetings ended and she was here, and old Brother Randy Thompson draw walked over and said, come here, whatever he calls her. Son, she ran up between my legs and said, give me Papa, give me Papa, give me Papa. Buddy, that'll get them. That may not do nothing for you, but I'm going to tell you what, boy. I drove down through here and looked over this way the other day and saw Mark, two little boys over there, and there's old watermelon. He just, hallelujah to God. And I thought, God has given me the glorious responsibility of preaching to you and preaching to them and doing my best to train them up in the house of God to be gentlemen, to be godly gentlemen, holy in character and conduct. Woo! Train them. Then I want to say, teach them in the Word of God. Man, I got to hurry. It's after 1 o'clock. I'm pulling a Sanchez and Grawl today. Listen what the psalmist said. Psalm 78, verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. God hadn't left you with a choice in the matter. It said he commanded. Now, there's some things in there, friend, that we can kind of get by on haphazardly, but God said, I've commanded you to teach these things to your children.
Amen.
And I'm going to say, hey, and three reasons, and I'll just be a second here, that they might set their hope in God.
Amen.
You folks that's got them little bitty ones, I saw that little bitty one of Robert and Sarah's back there. The other night, sitting back there and Sharon was holding him, and he had on them long britches. I said, look at that boy in them long britches, buddy.
Amen.
I like it. Thank God, I'm telling you, I like it.
Amen.
Get to start them out right. Don't put pants on them little girls.
Amen.
Don't put them little ruffly things on them boys. Praise God, put a pair of bib overalls on him, give him a shotgun and a fishing pole. Amen. And come carrying that little fella out of the Sunday school room this morning, and he was asleep. And I thought to myself, I hope that baby don't wake up and look at her and scare him to death. Now, she got me on that. I walked back there and I said, Anna, I said, I hope that baby don't turn around. She said, yeah, he'd see you and scare him to death. She got me. Teach them that they might set their hope in God and forget not all His works. I'm going to tell you, the works they will see with their eye will be the works that God works in you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, boys. I'm just about as free right now as a man can get. I'm talking about in the Holy Ghost. Old Benny, we was talking about taking the Brother Randy and his family down to Paddy's for lunch the other day. Benny had to help somebody out yonder to meet an electric man on his property. And the only person to go was Angie. I didn't want Angie out there around that man. So I called him that morning. I said, son, you can call Angie and tell her we're not going down there. We done talked about it, me and your mother. And I'll go out there and meet that fella for you. And he said three words, boy, and I'm going to tell you, my heart just spun. He said, thank you, Daddy.
Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you just them three little old words for my kids. Thank you, Daddy.
Amen.
Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I'm going to tell you what, boy, that moved in my soul. Thank you, Daddy.
Amen.
Don't you want to hear him say thank you, Daddy?
Amen.
Won't it be a wonderful thing, Miss Sharon, if God allows me to live and I can pastor? And pastor, that little boy of yours and them two little boys of Ricky's and them little old girls back there of Steve's and these other little boys in here of Mark's and Kim's and Doug's and Brother Billy and Gwen's and pastor, all these little old kids.
Amen.
And you hang in the house of God and set your hope in God and watch them little boys and girls grow up in the nurture and the admonition of God and get them up in the choir. Get God just all over them, a singing in the Holy Ghost and a praising God. And someday, hear that little old boy or girl on the phone say, thank you, Dad, for living for God. Thank you, Mama, for living for God. Thank you that you love God and set your hope in God. Therefore, I have not forgot all God's work. As bashful as Jennifer is and her singing up there this morning made me want to just, son, I feel if that Baptist had had water in it, I'd have went swimming. Praise God, I like it.
Amen.
Keep His commandments, that they'll keep His commandments.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you need to train them. You need to teach them. Have a few tears for them.
Amen.
Let them know you love them. Shed some tears. Amen to God. Now I'm closing with this point. I've got hope in the church, hope in conversion of sinners,
Amen.
Hope in our children being saved.
Amen.
But here is a hope that if you ever lose this hope, you'll become a has-been, a washout. I've got hope in Christ appearing.
Amen. Amen.
He's coming, brother.
Yes. Amen.
I wish you'd come this morning. I really wish that God had just come today.
Amen.
Paul said in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope.
Woo!
And glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity.
Amen.
And in doing so, that He might purify unto Himself peculiar people.
Amen.
Zealous.
Yes.
Of good works.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you've got your hope in Christ's appearing, it'll strengthen you beyond measure.
Amen.
You'll be like the psalmist. You'll be able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. That's the kind of hope it'll give you. It'll give you a strength that you can build a wall for your family. Build an ark of safety. It'll establish you. You'll become established in the faith, solid as a rock of Gibraltar. Not double-minded, not wavering, but strong in God.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else it'll do. It'll settle you.
Amen.
I can just hear my wife now. Gary, the crop didn't come in. Praise his wonderful name. There's no ox in the stall. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
The Sabians fell on all the sheep and have got them. And they're gone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That's called settling you. When you can just rest in the everlasting arms of God. Do you know what providence is? Somebody was talking about sovereignty. And God gave me this thought, might have been the other night. Brother Randy, you know what sovereignty is? I mean, providence. Providence is a visible sign of God's sovereignty.
Amen.
Providence is a manifestation of God's sovereignty.
Amen.
Joseph in the pit, Potiphar's house, prison house. That's providence. And that's the manifestation of a sovereign God working in his life.
Amen.
Now, when you get that way,
yes.
Preacher, dead in the house of God this morning. Blessed be God.
Amen.
You sure did preach a long time today, preacher. Blessed be God. Preacher, we're in a slump. Praise the Lord. Woo! Hope! Hope! But hope that is seen is not hope. Therefore, hope in that which the naked eye has not seen, both in this life and that life which is to come. Let's stand together, please. I've enjoyed preaching to you this morning. You got hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What are we going to sing, Brother George? 293. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning hour together. Thank you for the hope that I have as an anchor, both steadfast and sure. Thank God that I feel the tug on the other end of the line of pulling me upward toward Him that loved me, gave Himself for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to preach for you, to be a pastor. Please help us. Help us to set our hope in God. Help us, Lord, to remember the works of God and what it's cost you to save us and where we came from. Never to forget, Lord, where we're going to. For you've gone to prepare a place for us. And And in that house of our fathers, there are many, many mansions. And I know that if you've gone to prepare a place, that you will come again and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. My heart and soul yearns for the redemption of this body. Help us this day, grace our hearts in this invitation. Help our children, Lord. I'm hoping in their deliverance, their conversion, their salvation, and their filling and walk with God. Help mamas and daddies to love them and raise them. May the power of God rest in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for every sinner you save. Amen and amen. 293 in your hymn book this morning. Hear my humble cry, while all others bow and fall on me. Do not pass me by. Have you found some relief today? Sing it. Pass me.